The Christian and the State. Render to Caesar things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Caesar, the government, politics, the law, justice, taxation, foreign policy. God, the deity, the inner working, the guide of one's life, the creator, the sustainer, the one who was opening a new heaven and a new earth. Caesar, the world, God, his people. The principle is, while we are true to God and his law, let's be loyal and supportive of Caesar. Part number one, submission. Now we've talked about submission in the relationship of husband and wife. We should be subject to the higher powers. If our community is working for something for the betterment of the community, it wouldn't hurt the church members at all to throw themselves under the project. Subject. Put themselves right underneath it. Not to the detriment of their families, not to the shirking of their church responsibility and mission, but being in the world to do what we can without being off the world to support the projects of the world. Throw yourself under all legitimate projects, remembering that justice, he doesn't have the sword in vain, that he takes care of delinquents who break the law. Part number two, dual citizenship. We are citizens of heaven as well as the earth. We should remember that we have two citizenships, and we must be loyal to both citizenships, remembering that we are citizens first of the kingdom of heaven, with Christ as the ruler in our life. Then if we can be faithful to every teaching, every principle, every law of Christ in our hearts, then we are citizens also of our various countries. We are there to obey the laws, to pay legitimate taxes, to keep all legitimate regulations, remembering that we are examples also of ideal citizens while we are members of the church. Christ must reign within us personally, and while he is reigning within us, he can make us good citizens in the world. We should have our yards clean. Clean up times and city beautification, our work should be the best. When the community raises projects to help the needy or the blind, we should be there to help in all these legitimate projects, subjecting, throwing ourselves under them with all our hearts. Part number three, God and Caesar. First of all, this is a personal relationship. After I have fixed my relationship with God, I should have little trouble with my relationship with Caesar. I realize that the powers that be are ordained by God. They are extensions of God. Now Satan gets in sometimes and exploits them. Then I must back off and say, I have got to do what God wants me to do first. But as long as I am in this world with this dual citizenship, I have got to be deciding to be faithful to God, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then also to do whatever I can within the parameters of obedience to God's will to help the state. This great principle is one of the outstanding revelations of the New Testament. I must obey God rather than man. Part number four, the church and the state. Having settled my relationship individually between God and the state, we come in this section to a study of the corporate relationship of the church and the state. The church is made up of individuals. The church in some countries is institutionalized. We have universities, colleges, med schools, academies, grade schools, hospitals, work for the blind, all kinds of activities going on to help men and women in need. We have to bring about then a relationship between the church and the government. The church might have welfare programs. The government has welfare programs. The church might work for the blind. The government works for the blind. The church has schools. The government has schools. So an institutionalized church has got responsibilities and complications that go beyond the relationship of the individual. It will take then representatives of the church, elected and well known, to approach the government authorities to establish a working relationship between them. And the principle again is to glorify God and to be a blessing of men and to support the state as far as it's possible to do, with loyalty, law-abiding, paying our taxes, doing all the things that would establish the church rather than by criticism, pulling down and demeaning it. Part number 5, peace. Peace is not only the absence of war. Peace is the state of harmony in which all systems go. When the various systems of my body are functioning optimally, physiologically, I have peace. My lymph, my blood, my heart, my digestive, my muscular, my nervous, my skeleton, all these systems are working in perfect harmony, in perfect balance. I am at peace. When every part of the church is functioning in harmony, then the church is at peace. Now in the world, we have all kinds of troubles. We should first pray that God will give to us individually and as a church peace and harmony. Then we should pray for the government, politics, the king, president, rulers, counselors, judges, lawyers, taxmen, finance men, that in all the functionings of the church there may be peace. As a result, we live a quiet life, honestly, in goodness. So the church must pray. That's the first thing. Then the church must exhibit as a perfect example what it means to live in this state. Now, if members of the church go to law, if the headlines of the newspapers carry suits brought by members against the pastor or the members against the general conference or members against the conference president, Satan laughs, the world laughs, the members of the church weep, and the kingdom of God slows in that locality to a grinding halt in its progress toward the kingdom of heaven. We should therefore seek to live at peace at all times. Part number 6, open-mindedness. Now the open-minded is the person who can look at every side of a question. He's not got his mind made up on any question. So we are told. But the Christian cannot be totally open-minded because he's a man with a closed mind. He's already decided that God is God. He's decided that Jesus Christ is his Savior. he's decided that sin points out, that sin is pointed out by the unchanging law, that salvation only comes by the cross, that the gospel is the power of God to salvation, that the Bible is the inspired word of God. He's decided these. His mind is already made up. So open-mindedness in this lesson is limited. We say within the sphere of, or within the parameters laid down by the scriptures in Revelation, we should treat other people who do not accept these principles with a certain amount of flexibility, not giving up our own principles or beliefs, but adapting our method to win them so that we can help them nearer to the kingdom of God. If we regard with tolerance the relationship of the young and the old, and the old and the young, the differences in society, if we realize that God is in charge, that He is working now, and I have a job to do, and I am going to work till He tells me to quit, and love my neighbor, and do my best to help him, then living in the state as I do now, as a member of God's church, I can be a blessing to many more.